The following program is intended as an educational program, not as investment advice or as a recommendation to buy, sell, or participate in any investment vehicle, product, offering, or strategy. Investment advisory services are offered through Turning Point Financial, a registered investment advisor. Any references to specific securities, investment vehicles, or strategies are intended only as examples, not as recommendations. All investments involve risk, including the possibility of losing money. Welcome to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. Do you ever wonder how your money and the things you own are actually helping you to live out what you really feel called to in your heart? There's so much peace of mind when you sense that your money is aligned with your values and your convictions, as well as your financial goals. And there's really, really peace of mind when you know that deep down your financial goals are in sync with your values and convictions. And there's so much potential for anxiety and worry when that alignment is not present.
That's right, James. But that can be easier said than done. There's so much financial information coming at us every minute of every day. It can actually be overwhelming. Terminology, ideas and philosophies, various competing principles, and of course, financial products and services. Keeping all of this information straight can be downright confusing, possibly even scary.
Yeah, especially the financial products and services.
There's so many.
Yeah.
And they're confusing.
And you're the fine print. Oh my goodness, you ever read some of that fine print? We should make a whole episode out just reading the fine print.
Like the last 8 pages.
Of
every product is all.
Who reads the last 8 pages? Yeah. Anyway, well, when you're confused, which is almost guaranteed as through all that fine print, you simply don't make good decisions. And that can keep you from being all that God wants you to be, and it can hurt you pretty badly as well, especially the fine print.
That's right.
Paragraph 4, right?
Subclause C.
That's right. Well, okay. Anyway, back on track. Welcome to Money and Mission, episode
45?
45. Yeah, this is episode 45. I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio. Each week, in the first part of our show, we'll talk about some current financial events so you'll have a better understanding of what some of the terminology and events actually mean.
And then partway through the show, we get to my favorite part, the weekly puzzler.
I forget. What's that, Joe?
The weekly puzzler.
That's
right. Joe, remind me. What's his favorite
part?
That's it. The puzzler.
The puzzler. It's a brain teaser, and we'll share that with you. And you know, we don't know. We do know it's very interesting to Joe. Right. We don't know if anybody else finds it interesting, but we do. So we'll share that with you.
That's right.
So anyway,
let's jump right into it. In our week in review, what did you think was a financial news highlight throughout this past week?
Well, you were pulling most of these notes together, right?
I did. These are what I thought were.
This is what you thought was interesting this week. So why don't you what kind of stuck out to you?
Yeah, we have to switch seats here. That's funny. Well, what stuck out to me is, you know, some of the big things in the news, I would say, one are the continued, you know, federal job cuts that
right.
we keep hearing about.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us might know somebody personally that might have been affected.
Mm-hmm.
I know I speak to federal employees regularly, and I hear about it. HHS announced 20,000 job cuts. So they're going to go from 82,000 to 62. But across the board, the VA, HHS, they're just seeing slashings up from what I've seen, about 200,000 across the board.
Yeah. And just in case, VA, Veterans Administration, right,
mm-hmm.
and HHS.
They love their acronyms.
That's
Health
right.
and Human Services.
Yeah, they do. That's right. So, you know, the real question, of course, is whether that really reduces government spending or if a lot of the spending that happens and the projected overspending is systemic, like if it's just built into the budget. For example, all of the promises to pay Social Security, pensions, Medicare, I mean, you know, as we have a continued aging of our population, and more people are getting into the stage of life where they are ready to start receiving that check, then your hand is up.
Yeah, Joe.
Oh, that's right.
He's in that population.
I've been getting that check.
That's right. But, you know, as more and more people, I mean, you can cut out half of your workforce, but if you, the people that you've promised to pay, if that population continues to balloon, then those payments are just going to be there.
And not just those promises, but, you know, every administration is just adding on.
That's right.
And as far as the job cuts, you know, in the private sector, that's usually one of the largest line items for a business.
Mm-hmm.
But for the government, I mean, you're putting a little dent in it. But like you said, it's the entitlements.
That's right.
Is where all the big spending is.
That's right. Yeah. Well, that becomes important because government spending is an important part of our economy. Right. And when the government spends more money, of course, the trickle down effect, an economy, as we know, is simply a series of transactions. So if you start taking some of those transactions away or moving things around, then it certainly does have an impact, creates some turmoil in the markets. And you want to make sure your investments are properly structured, right, even if there are changes like that going on.
But economically, wouldn't it be better if more of that spending was happening in the private sector and not on from the government?
Well, yeah, it probably would because, well, not just probably, right? Yeah. Because if the private sector is creating those jobs instead of government, then that equals more actual products and services that are being created. And when there's more products and services, then there's...
And supporting industries around those.
And supporting industries. That's right. You know, the ripple effect of all of that just is very, very positive for the economy. That's exactly right.
Yeah, so that was one thing. And then yesterday I seen, and a lot of people seen, that Trump signed an executive order for 25% tariffs on all automobiles and auto parts manufactured outside of the United States.
That'll be very interesting.
Yep, so definitely.
On all.
On what?
All. Vehicles, all vehicles and auto parts manufactured outside.
Oh,
all.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's even for domestic brands with their factories, whether it's in Canada or Mexico. He said they're not being shielded from the bullet.
They're not made here, they're assembled here.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Well, interesting. We'll be talking about some of those vehicles later on in today's podcast. That's a little foreshadowing of some things we'll be talking about.
But there's two sides of that coin, right? Like one, you know, it will increase the prices that consumers pay for those vehicles in the short term. But I think the goal is to bring those manufacturing and jobs back and ultimately those dollars
here
to America.
That's right.
And if not, then collect revenue for the U.S. through the tariff.
That's right. And I suppose, you know, the danger always is, well, what if those companies that are manufacturing things somewhere else, what if they feel like they don't want to pay the tariff and they all just find a way of doing business with each other? Like, you know, cars that are manufactured in Germany, if the Germans just figure out how to sell all their cars to the French, for example.
Well, I just don't think they have a market that large. Well, the American market is super large, especially automobiles.
It is super large.
If they did pull out, then that would be opportunity for American auto workers to fill that void.
To figure out how to make Porsches and Mercedes here.
Better product, better price.
That's right.
That's the market.
That's right. So we'll see how that plays out, right?
Yeah. But we've already seen, like, the chip manufacturer, TSMC from Taiwan, they've announced $100 billion additional investment here. Hyundai is announced $21 billion, I see here, announced to make a plant and have work manufacturing here in the States.
That's right. So that kind of inflow of investment money that large companies are making here in this country is, you know, anticipated to have a very positive impact.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting times.
Yeah.
Interesting times we're living in.
It gives us things to talk about on a weekend review.
It gives us plenty of things to talk about.
Get a good deal on a Tulsa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, what about this conference board stuff? You had some notes here about the conference board. You know, with positive things happening like that, you would think that consumers would be all excited, right?
Well, yeah,
but
it seems like a short-term pain, long-term, you know, fix. Mm-hmm. So maybe folks aren't happy about it.
Losing, you know.
They might agree with the direction, but right now, next week, when I have to buy everything, my groceries and pay my bills, it's going to hurt a little more.
It's going to hurt a little more. And so my confidence level as a consumer drops off because of what I'm seeing right in front of me as opposed to what I think may be happening a year down the road or 2 years down the road.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there is this this survey that the conference board creates called the Consumer Confidence Index.
Mm-hmm. And I think you have a little qualm with that, huh?
Oh, I'm sorry?
You have a little problem kind of with how they measure a little bit of that?
Well, you know, so the thing is that, you know, the messaging really is that if consumers think that there's going to be inflation, the inflation expectation, then there will be.
That's what the board is kind of assuming.
That's, yeah. I mean, the Fed kind of assumes that. The Fed, you know, talks periodically about how they keep an eye on consumer expectations.
But that just doesn't make it happen, though, right?
It doesn't make it happen. I mean, it doesn't. To me, it seems kind of ridiculous that somebody would think that just because consumers think there's going to be inflation, that suddenly there will be.
And it doesn't go away because you want it to either.
No. Yeah. I mean, if that was true, I think we should have a very large meeting and get everybody together and just kind of say, let's expect that there won't be any inflation. And then it would just go away. Right. So somehow it just never seems to work that way. And that's the problem I have with.
I can see your point on that.
Yeah.
But as far as, you know, getting consumer sentiment and seeing, you know, the direction of potential short-term spending.
Yeah. I mean, that's true because when people feel confident, then they tend to be more inclined.
I'll pick up that new car loan.
That's right.
I'll get that furniture for the living room. I'll redo that kitchen.
That's right. And that confidence then leads to economic activity and that helps economic expansion and economic growth.
And I see here their expectation index fell to the lowest point in 12 years.
The expectations index.
Yes. And they say this measures consumers' short-term outlook for personal income as well as business and labor market conditions. So this
that makes sense, right? Because if people are like, you know, the government, for example, is cutting employment. Mm-hmm. And so all those people are thinking, oh my goodness, where's my paycheck going to come from? And that would provide a reduction in confidence for sure.
Yeah, so I think this will be a metric we'll keep an eye on.
We want to keep an eye on
next
this.
Couple quarters.
That's
and,
right.
And we'll keep everybody updated on.
That's right. Interesting times. Interesting times we're living in. Absolutely.
Alrighty. Well, we're out of time in this segment. We're going to take a quick break and hear from our supporters. You are listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio.
What are you dancing?
I don't know, I just got excited.
Oh, okay.
I got a good topic today.
I was gonna say, there's nothing dancing here, but anyway. So nobody can see us anyway, right? So
just me, you, and Joe.
You two are out of control here. I'm going to have to bring the leash next time.
It's the radio. Well, you know, today we want to get started on a series of discussions on the topic of understanding wealth.
That's right. So maybe over the next few weeks,
we'll go
ahead and unpack this topic for you. And I think it'll be a great one, actually.
I think it's a great topic, yeah. Mm-hmm. Although I have no idea. You said a few weeks.
Yeah.
Like, do we actually have any idea how many weeks that will be?
No.
Not really.
We haven't completely finalized the the whole program yet.
That's right. We think it's going to be about 4 weeks.
Yes.
Right. But we don't know yet.
Nope.
And
subject
from
to change.
Our history of putting things together in series is, I would say past performance is not a guarantee of future results.
Oh, my. That sounds familiar.
Did you ever hear that?
Yeah.
That's right. We don't even have an acronym yet.
No, we don't.
No.
Like SMART goals?
SMART.
Yeah, don't go there, guys.
Yeah, that's right. But yeah, we don't even...
We might.
We might. That's right. There are acronyms out there.
James looked.
I looked. That's right. But I did not like any of them.
Yeah.
Okay, so we don't even have an acronym yet. But, you know, if you're listening to this podcast and you can think of a good acronym regarding wealth as it relates to money and mission and so on and so forth, send your idea to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com, or you can call us up too, right? 717-774-7200. We would like to hear your ideas. Now, you could call the station too, right? What's the number here, Joe?
717-525-8110.
525-8110. Yep. Yeah, 717. And ask for Joe.
That's right.
And tell him you have an idea for an acronym for these guys to use for their series of discussions on understanding wealth.
Don't hang up on them, Joe.
Don't hang up. Yeah, that's right. But seriously, seriously though, you know, I think the real point is that if you don't have a good understanding of what wealth actually is,
yes,
then you'll probably never really be successful at managing or growing wealth.
That's right.
Right? I mean, I think that kind of makes
sense.
Being
able to utilize it properly, being able to pass it on, make an impact with it.
That's right.
All those things.
That's right. You have to really understand what wealth actually is. Who was it that said this? I think Lewis Carroll in Alice's Adventures in Wonderland said one time, if you don't know where you're going, any road will get you there.
Hmm.
That's kind of true, is
except a dead end, I guess.
Yeah.
Then you could just turn around and
that's right.
Follow that same road back.
There you go.
That's right. And but you know, in the Bible, of course, Proverbs 29:18 says, "Without vision, people perish."
Mm-hmm.
Right. So if you have no, if you don't have a good understanding of wealth, then you just probably are not going to be very successful in managing.
No, wealth. I don't think so.
That's right. So we want to discuss this. And this concept of wealth, you had kind of an interesting little, image maybe, or?
Well, yeah, I think we all think about money and resources and building a future and to some extent or another, but really, like, what is money? And we say all the time, money's just a tool. And I've been thinking that way for a while. I've always thought money as like fun coupons. Like when I was a teenager in my 20s, like I wasn't building for the future yet. So I just looked at it as I don't care about this money. I want to enjoy this time with my friends, my family, or have, you know, a nice meal out with folks or a new pair of anything. It was just fun coupons. How much did I need to get to the end result?
Right.
Now, I wasn't really in a biblical frame of mind with that type of thinking, but you can apply that same principle over to better living choices.
That's right.
Instead of just buying shoes and spending it.
That's right.
Putting it to impact and to good use.
That's right. So, but you know, money is not wealth. We'll talk more about that as we go, as we work at defining that. But as you said,
it's not being wealthy.
Not being wealthy.
You could have monetary wealth
mm-hmm.
to a degree, and we'll get into that.
And still not be really wealthy.
Right.
That's right. So fun coupons or abundance building.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So these are...
Build abundance in your life.
That's right.
Connections, assets.
That's exactly right. So again, we want to have a good understanding of what wealth actually is. And so we'll spend some time trying to unpack that here in the next 3 or 4 episodes that we do. Some of the questions we really want to talk about, well, we alluded to it already. What is wealth?
Right.
That's. I mean, you can almost be philosophical on that. What is wealth? But let's break it down.
And what is having abundance?
That's right.
Right.
And to the degree that we can really break that down and help folks understand what wealth is, then again, we think, you know, we'll be in a much better position to manage wealth. So certainly it's easy to see things that are physical in front of us, but we call that a balance sheet, right?
Mm-hmm.
Understanding your net worth. But what about going beyond the balance sheet?
I think that's the most important part.
Yeah, going beyond the balance sheet.
Because like what I was talking about in my case and with some of the folks we have in as guests on the show, it's not the money, right? It's where you're trying to get to.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you're trying to achieve. The impact you're trying to make is what brings you happiness and that abundance in your life.
And fulfillment. That's
right.
Exactly right.
If you were just on an island with a chest full of gold bars, you probably wouldn't feel very wealthy or abundant.
Probably not. You'd want to just get off the island.
Yeah, exactly. Right. I'll give this to you to put me around loved ones and to live a satisfied life again.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So we want to unpack that question, right? What is wealth?
But the balance sheet's important too.
It is. Must money in mission, right?
No money, no mission.
That's right. So, well, I mean, the money has to come from somewhere. I mean, it may be. Yeah. So anyway, so we'll unpack that, right?
Yeah. Whether right. you earn it, it's generosity.
Somebody else gives it to you. The money comes from somewhere. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
And then
right.
we're stewards of it mm-hmm. at that point.
That's right. So, well, a second thing I think that we really want to try to just wrap our hands around, whatever, try to unpack that here as we work through this topic is building wealth wisely. And how does one go about actually building wealth? There are practical principles. The Bible has principles related to money. There are more verses in the Bible about money than any other topic.
I think it was like over 2,000?
Thousands, yeah. That's exactly right. And I keep forgetting how many. I have to go back and look at the chart.
Yeah.
Thankfully, it doesn't change all the time, like the U.S. tax code or something
like that.
There's
not a week
that,
in
right?
review.
That's right, yeah. So we want to look at some of those principles and some faith-based strategies.
Because there's some ugly ways to make money in this world. And
that's right.
You know, so.
That's exactly right.
Doing it the right way, it pleasing God.
That's right. That's right. Thirdly, then I think we want to also revisit this topic of generosity,
mm-hmm.
right? And some of the questions that go along with that, like how much is enough? Who does it belong to, the wealth, right? Who does it really belong to? Stewardship, kingdom impact, and certainly, influence like that in our own lives.
Yeah, I think that's so important. Like, how much is enough, right? We had Cody Hobelman on from Finish Lines
mm-hmm.
talking about that concept.
That's right.
How much is enough? And I think that's so important.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe we'll have a chance to have Cody back on.
Because it's not us, like you said here. Who does it belong to? It's not ours.
It's not ours. That's right. It all belongs to God. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, all the people and everything. I think I just got that backwards.
He gives us what we need to. He provides for us. Mm-hmm. And anything above that mm-hmm. is meant to impact and help others.
That's right. That's exactly right. But then, you know, along the way of building wealth, there are being a steward, right? A good steward of that, there are obstacles. Yeah,
there's no shortage of obstacles that we're going to run into.
Run into these obstacles, right?
So they're going to test your faith, test your finances, mm-hmm. your principles.
That's right. And sometimes the biggest obstacle is not external.
It's yourself.
Yeah. That's exactly right. So we'll spend some time in this little series talking about that, talking about overcoming those obstacles as well. And as we were thinking about putting this together, I think it was really, it's kind of a soul searching thing. Like, why are we talking about this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we see it every day.
Yeah.
We see folks' relationship with money,
mm-hmm.
their consumer behavior.
Yeah.
The consumerism is rampant in this country, and we watch people every day make these mistakes. So we thought it would be good to come on and share them.
Yeah. And you don't often think, when you think money or you think wealth, you don't think, a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Do I have a relationship with what? My house? or, my car? Do I have a relationship with my 401k? What about a relationship with my life insurance policy? No, mm-hmm. But there are the same emotions there as any other relationship. Fear, greed, guilt, shame, possibly jealousy.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to, really kind of make sure we cover some of that as well.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to get into that a little bit more and share that with folks. Well, we're all out of time in this segment, so let's get to your favorite part.
Weekly Puzzler!
Weekly Puzzler.
That's right. Well, we're up to our weekly puzzle.
Yes.
That's the most fun part of the show here. Last week's question, I just loved, I loved this question.
Okay, I'll handle that
this
one.
This puzzle.
Since you made the new one for this
Since
week.
Since I made the new one for this week.
Last week, which I was stumped, but it's good. What do mathematics teachers like to eat?
Mathematics teachers, what do they like to eat?
Yeah, and the answer is, folks,
pie.
Pie. Well, that had a good chuckle.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, there you go. So, anyway, this, I don't know if this week's question is really a puzzle, if it's really a puzzle or not, but it's, anyway, what IRS publication tells you all that you'd ever want to know about individual retirement accounts?
Oh, unfortunately, I knew the answer to this.
You know the answer to this.
I don't.
Yeah, you know the answer.
Joe, you got to know something.
Yeah, what IRS publication tells you all you'd ever want to know about individual retirement accounts? If you think you know the answer, send your answer to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com and we'll read the answer on the show next week.
I might give folks a hint. It might be have two answers.
It might have two answers.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
We'll just leave that out there.
Yeah, we'll just leave that out there.
Okay. It should have two answers.
It should. It could. Kind of.
Okay.
All right.
Well, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our supporters. You've been listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a... I'm James.
And this is Eric.
And today we're really covering session one,
yeah,
I guess.
Our part one of...
Part one.
Understanding Wealth series.
Understanding Wealth. And we think this is going to be about four parts.
Yeah, so right. If you tune in and there's a part five, popped one in.
We popped one in.
Then we judged accurately.
That's right. So before we really get into that, this is such an important topic, again, because
as we said,
if you don't really, if you don't have a good understanding of what wealth is.
And so many people don't.
And
what it means to them.
And what it means to them, that's right. But if you don't have a good understanding of what that is, then how in the world do you ever go about managing wealth or building wealth,
mm-hmm,
if you really don't have a good handle on what wealth actually is?
That's right. If you don't have a good plan and handle the resources properly,
then
you'll
right.
never be wealthy in the end.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you think about wealth, what kinds of things come to mind?
Fulfillment.
Fulfillment.
Happiness.
Yeah.
You know, I think the purpose of life is love.
Mm-hmm.
And none of those things money can actually buy.
True, yeah.
You know, like a big old family, a life full of experience, closeness to God.
Yeah. These are all things, yeah. As you said, money can't buy that. So money itself is not wealth. Money is a medium of exchange. It's a tool. And mm-hmm. and it helps us to get right that wealth.
Because you do need money on that path to get to those objectives.
That's right.
You can't get there with $0.
That's right. And, you know, often the display of wealth equals not very much wealth. Right? Because if somebody is like displaying, hey, all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how did they get that stuff? Well, they had to spend money, or maybe they had to borrow money or whatever. But usually when there's a high display of wealth, there is not very much accumulation of wealth.
Or growing for them.
Or growing, that's right.
And in most cases, they didn't have it in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone's driving around in a fancy car, they've got a big house with a big mortgage and flashy things, a big watch. In most cases, they're highly leveraged with a lot of debt.
Yeah.
And they're not actually their assets.
Mm-hmm. And so, in many cases. So this whole thing of...
And a lot of the millionaires, you wouldn't know it because they're in a grocery store next to you with a T-shirt on.
That's right. Or driving a a car that you would not necessarily equate with.
Yeah.
With
we have an article here from Yahoo Finance that talks about the top cars, the top 10 car brands that millionaires drive these days.
Now this is important because really what happens is that, I mean, here we're talking about money, but to accumulate money, you have to spend less
mm-hmm.
than you make.
And if you're spending it all,
if you're spending it all,
these flashy things along the way,
then there's no possible way that you're accumulating anything. And if money is a medium of exchange and you use that to obtain wealth, then, or at least some kinds of wealth, then if you're spending as much as you're making, or if you're spending more than you're making, maybe that works out for a little bit. So cars are just one example of a place where sometimes it's easy to spend more than what's necessary.
Right.
Right. And the value of that car just decimates, right? It falls off a cliff.
Especially like the luxury brands.
Especially like luxury brands. So
this and it says here that a whopping 61% of households making more than $250,000 a year don't drive luxury brands. Over 60%.
Wow. That sounds like we're like reading out of that book. What's that book? The Millionaire Next Door.
Yeah. And it, well, that's what it says. Most millionaires don't drive these flashy cars. That's what Dave Ramsey wrote. And that 69%, almost 70% of the millionaires in our country did never had a job making over $100,000 a year.
Never. Wow. That's really significant. So it's like at the end of the day, it's not about how much money you make. It's about how much money you keep.
That's right. That's exactly right. And like you said here at the beginning, you know, those good principles.
That's right. But I would also kind of inject there, and I think we'll get to this. We have several sessions here to get through, we can talk about this. But and what I said, it's not how much money you make, it's how much money you keep. And also how much you give away, right? Because sometimes it does seem like the more you give, the more that is available that you have there. But I'm really fascinated by this list of cars.
The top 10 list?
Yeah, top 10 list. What kinds of cars are these people driving?
Well, I would say more focused on reliability and not so much flashiness. I mean, there's a couple flashy brands on there, but the top ones, Toyota, Honda, 3 is Ford, 4 is Lexus, 5 is Subaru. I mean, 4 of those are synonymous with reliability.
4 of those?
At least.
4? You read 5.
Well, I'm not picking anyone out.
You're not
but
picking
I mean,
so which one is not reliable? Okay. So,
I had a Ford. Things didn't go that well for me before.
Yeah.
But if you look at the consumer reports, you see Honda, Toyota, Lexus, right. Subaru always at the top of those lists.
Yes.
Yeah, they
all
are.
The time.
That's right.
And then in this list, so they have BMW and there's a Lincoln and Acura, but I mean, 50 to 73,000, that's a little bit higher, but these aren't big luxury, high ticket items.
Yeah. Lincoln, Buick.
Buick, yep. Subaru.
You know what I didn't see on there?
Hyundai, what's that?
Which really just, I just couldn't get over this.
Yeah.
A Chevy.
No Chevys.
There's no Chevy on there. Does that mean?
And we both have one.
Oh yeah, that's right. I have a Chevy. I like my Chevy.
My Subaru's on there, so I'm halfway on the right track.
That's right. Yeah, good old
what
Chevy.
What about the one you put the top down on?
Yeah, that's a Chevy. The Corvette?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's why I'm a little upset they don't have it on the list.
Well then, we'll have to reprimand Chevy.
We're going to be giving Dave here a call and
give
him a piece of our mind.
But the point, we're wide of the point, right? I mean, the point is that in the process of accumulating and building wealth, if you're spending a lot along the way, then you're not accumulating as much.
Two things. One, the vehicle is less expensive to even buy. And two, it's more reliable, so you're spending less to maintain it and repair it over the years.
That's right. Yeah. And so it's, you know, that's just kind of a case in point. You could apply that same principle to
other aspects of your life. Yep.
To so many different things.
Mm-hmm.
So coming back to kind of the definition of wealth, wealth is often defined as the total value of what a person or a household or a nation even owns, including things like property, real estate, investments. And investments are not just financial assets, although that's usually what we think about. I know when we work with clients, investments equals things like mutual funds and stocks and bonds and so on and so forth. But investments could be direct investments in business ventures and so on and so forth. Other assets.
Could invest in patents. copyrights and stuff.
Copyrights.
Research and development into patents.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So minus any outstanding debts. So something that you own is an asset.
Mm-hmm.
And net worth, that is another important topic or important terminology, that net worth in an economic context is how much you own minus how much you owe.
Yep. How many things you have minus what you owe against them.
That's right.
If you borrowed for it.
That's right.
And if you don't have any debt, then your net worth is a collection of all the things you own.
That's right. If this is so important to really keep in mind. Let's say you've got $10 million of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Make it $100 million. I mean, let's say you have $100 million of stuff. And you have...
Like a business.
Like a business,
business,
yeah,
worth $100 million.
That's right.
And I put $50 million of my own capital in it.
Yeah.
And the other $50 I had to borrow.
That's right. You're not worth $100 million.
Right.
You're worth $50 million.
Because I owe someone that other $50.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
If you have $1 million worth of stuff and you have $1 million worth of mortgages, you are not worth...
You're zero.
Anything.
Nope.
Right. Now, you can commandeer. You have the ability to do something with... let's say, the property that you own, but you are the servant to the lender.
Back to my point of the person driving that flashy car and
that
house they can barely afford. Mm-hmm. So they have all the nice things, but their net worth is probably a lot lower than the modest family next door.
Than what it might look like.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly right. So wealth is, again, everything that you own minus everything that you owe.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
So I think, yeah, so we mentioned real estate, stocks, bonds, savings accounts, and other valuable possessions.
Mm-hmm. And then there's five types of wealth that we'd like to get into.
So it's really not just stuff.
Right.
Right? There is, I mean, that's financial wealth, of course, but there's time wealth,
mm-hmm,
the ability to manage your calendar in such a way that you actually have time that you can spend in ways that you would like to
go out and volunteer or mentor.
Mm-hmm. There's mental wealth or emotional wealth, just having a clear sense of purpose, inner peace, a growth mindset. In the Bible, we read in Isaiah, the 26th chapter, we read that God will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed or focused on him. So having, mm-hmm, that mental and emotional peace of mind is an example of wealth that really doesn't have anything to do with money.
And remember that these resources are meant for his ways, not these worldly ways.
That's right. That's right. Physical wealth.
Then that's important.
That's so important.
Because it's hard to enjoy anything that money will buy you if your body is just broken down.
That's right. You have all the stuff in the world, and if you're in bad health,
you pay it all just to be healthy.
You've got a real problem. That's right. And then social wealth, of course. And that's really about family, friends, professional networks, right? Your church family, charitable networks.
And that could arguably provide the most abundance out of all of them.
That's right. That's
it
right.
It really can.
And people who listen to your podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Like Money and Mission. Thank you for listening. Right?
And speaking of thanks of listening, I think we're kind of out of time in this segment.
We are.
So let's pick up on the other side of this break. You're listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Welcome back to Money in Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James Good.
And this is Eric Terrio.
And we are working through a series of discussions on the topic of wealth.
That's right.
What is wealth? And we kind of said this already, that money is not wealth. There is this...
Money is a tool.
That's right. You know, this money, you can have money, but really not have very much wealth. And sometimes you can actually have wealth and not very much money. Mm-hmm. That's right. Cash poor.
That's very true.
So money is a tool. I belong to an organization called Kingdom Advisors.
That's right.
And one of the things Kingdom Advisors teaches is that money is a tool, money is a test, and money is a testimony.
And they also try to help folks manage money, quote unquote, God's way.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. So money is a tool. We know that it helps us to get things. The way that money is a test is that sometimes we're asked to do things with money that challenge us, cause us to think deeply and do a lot of soul searching. And certainly the way that we spend money, it says something about who we are, right? And that's the testimony part.
Was it where you put your treasure is where your heart lies?
Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Mm-hmm. That's right. But I was thinking that, again, there are spheres. You like that? That's a great word, sphere. I'll spell it, right? Just S-P-H-E-R-E.
I think folks get it.
Okay. You got to put the emphasis on the right syllable.
The emphasis on the right syllable. Yeah.
That is not part of our outline.
I just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you can throw it out there and it will mess me up. But
too late. Right.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. That's okay. We love you, Joe.
I know.
That's right. So, but a sphere of wealth. A sphere is actually a place.
These different spheres of influence.
Of influence. That's right. I mean, when you think about this, this is a place where you have influence.
Mm-hmm. And where you are equipped with maybe resources in that department, albeit money or not.
That's right.
The knowledge, wisdom influence inside of these spheres.
That's right. And we all have these spheres of influence to some degree or another.
Some
right?
stronger than others.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Now, if you would become like the president of a country, then your sphere would be very big.
And everyone's trying to get in it.
Sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes people are trying to throw you out of it, right? but certainly, you know, I mean, the folks here at Holy Family Radio have a sphere of influence in mm-hmm. that all the people that are listening to the radio station know who Joe is.
Mm-hmm.
Or one of them, anyway.
And the calls at the station and their loyal listeners.
That's right. If you are, let's say, in the ministry, if you're a minister, you have a sphere of influence.
Mm-hmm.
But even, you know, if you're not any of the above, you just go to work every day. There are a lot of people who know you, and things you do impact them, and that is a sphere of influence.
Absolutely.
That's right. And then other places too, families, aunts, uncles, cousins, children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews. So the question then becomes, you know, we talked about these different types of wealth that we have. And
where can you spend those fun coupons?
Yeah, that's right.
Right.
And where do those things actually come into being an influence, right?
Mm-hmm.
Spiritual wealth. Again, is where you are grounded in your convictions, and because you are, then that influences people around you.
Sure. And you might, you know, have a better, deeper understanding of like the book, so you might be able to talk with folks mm-hmm. about that on a deeper level.
Right. That's right. Yeah.
And now, help them hear the word.
That's right. Now, financial wealth. Again, it's easy for us to think, I mean, sometimes it's easy and sometimes
it's easily measurable.
That's right.
In most cases.
Yeah. But if we have time here, we'll talk about some examples, or at least one example, of how financial wealth can be influential in a sphere, like a family system. Certainly social wealth, if there is a social sphere. Again, let's say that you have a...
What type of impact are you having on society, on your community?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Through a network of friends, again, family, other people at church, maybe business connections, places, again, where your
clubs.
Clubs.
Like
that's
Rotary
right.
and things like that.
That's right, yeah. These are places where who you are is making a difference in the way other people take action, their attitudes, their outlooks, and so on and so forth.
And normally folks with large social capital, then they're able to, they know so many folks that they're able to find, they know people who have needs, mm-hmm. but they also know a large amount of people who are driven to help those types of folks.
Right.
So they can connect them
That's
and
right.
help solve those problems.
That's right. Yeah. Then there's, you know, the intellectual sphere.
Is that your highest sphere there?
The intellectual sphere.
My brain's so big.
Yeah,
I gotta hold it up.
Anyway, say that 10 times as fast as you can. Intellectual sphere.
Nope. My sphere is large enough that I know I shouldn't.
That's right. So, but this is where, you know, you are super blessed with ideas and, mm-hmm. and things that you think about and that you share those ideas with others.
And I think this is where artists shine.
Artists.
Absolutely.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Different media. I mean, some of these folks are brilliant in their creations. And you know, it's just that's what they were blessed with.
That's right. People have the ability to write wonderful speeches and presentations and write books and
legal documents.
That's right.
Those are tricky.
So, you know, it takes money to train and get to the spot where you are able to do that, but certainly, again, intellectual sphere.
And I would say it takes a while to build up all these, right? Your social mm-hmm. capital, your social mm-hmm. sphere, got to meet people and network over time and trust them.
That's right.
The intellectual, you got to learn a base of knowledge. Spiritual, you got to get deep in your beliefs.
That's right. That's right.
You don't just flip these on and off.
That's correct. Yeah, it's a result of consistent, ongoing living out, the little things and just doing that day in and day out, and that begins to build then as life goes along. But then sometimes those spheres of influence grow to be very significant. We've talked before about...
And that's where you can have big impact.
That's right. And we've talked before about things like Ave Maria University,
mm-hmm.
right? Catholic Charities. Let's say there's a business owner that builds charitable initiatives into their business plan.
Well, I think we have that, the clean drinking water.
That's right.
That's built into the plan.
That's right. And the Mercy School.
And the Mercy Foundation. Yep.
That's right. We had Kathy Troxell on almost a year ago now.
That's right. And that's built into her plan.
As a guest. That's right. And, you know, some of the folks we've had on as guests.
So these aren't churches or government organizations.
That's correct.
Yeah. These are private sector companies.
Private citizens.
That's right.
When more of that can happen, you take the burden off the government
mm-hmm.
and so much of it off the churches, which they do so much.
That's right.
But there's such a need.
That's right. Yeah. But again, literally, you know, Ross Willard over there at Recycle Bicycle.
Mm-hmm. That was a good episode.
That's right. Sarah, the manager over at 10,000 Villages. You know, the Dave Hook team and everything they're doing with Project Lamplight. The list goes on and on. But these are spheres of influence. And it's exciting to see, you know, when you make that commitment and you start just living out those little things and you really pay attention to that, to watch that sphere of influence really grow. That is wealth.
Right.
Right.
And I think it's important, instead of spending those dollars on the shoes, on the rims, on the this or the that, use those in these spheres that matter so much to you, because mm-hmm. that is what's going to make you feel abundance and wealthy.
That's on exactly the inside. Right.
We call it paying it forward.
Yeah.
Paying it forward.
You know, take that money that you tie to church or whatever, or volunteer. Mm-hmm. All of those things are your way,
mm-hmm.
such as it is, of paying it forward.
Paying it forward. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Well, I wanted to just, you know, share a really practical example of that. Let's say that you decide to send your children to a Christian school.
Yeah.
Right?
Sounds great.
That's right. We have, what are some of the schools?
St. Joseph.
St. Joseph.
I think that's up the street. You got Trinity right down the street from
us. That's right, yeah.
And you got on the other side of the river, you got Holy Name, you got Bishop McDevitt, Lourdes.
But there is some influence that you are having when you send, you know, when you make it possible for children to get that kind of education.
Yeah.
And now maybe it's a parent, maybe you're a grandparent, right? You could be, you might be able to use some of your accumulated financial wealth to support the cost of tuition.
Yeah.
Or if the school qualifies for something like the Pennsylvania Earned Income Tax Credit, then you could actually have money that would be used to pay your state income taxes qualify to help, you know, pay some of that tuition as well. You might decide to buy a larger life insurance policy. And you might say, well, how in the world is a life insurance policy going to make it possible for my kids, you know, to have, you know, quality education? Well, if you're spending your cash, right, to help make sure your kids get that education, then that life insurance policy would provide a larger benefit in the event of your death.
Mm-hmm.
And that would replace the cash that you were spending.
That you're giving them throughout the day.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right. So, you know, so there are so many ways like that that these financial vehicles tie together and help to really build out that sphere of influence that we were just talking about, so that the wealth that you have becomes tremendously influential, you know, in those pockets and in those spheres.
Yes. No, I think that's great. And that's a way to have an influence, like on their family, the next generation, mm-hmm. the community. I think that's great.
That's exactly right. You know, we talk with people, we talk with clients all the time and about building these kinds of things into their wealth management plans and their financial plans. And everyone's at a different place in terms of both their understanding and their capacity, but it is possible to absolutely make that happen.
And that's true. And that's a good segue. We need to wrap up for the day. But next week, we're going to be talking exactly about that, about building wealth wisely.
That's right.
So important. So thanks for listening. You've been listening to Money and Mission on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.